Have you ever sat on an idea or a project because you needed more time for it to ferment? Or because you knew somewhere inside that you hadn't quite found the right way to do it? Well, the UK sculptor and light artist Bruce Munro let decades pass before he created the works he's now so famous for, landscapes that come alive in a multitude of shimmering lights. They evoke feelings and memories, and many were inspired by the time Bruce spent in Australia as a younger artist. Bruce joins me now from Darwin, where his next big project is taking place. It's called Tropical Light. Bruce Munro, thank you so much for coming onto The Art Show.
Good morning, Ed. It's very nice to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, Bruce, you're certainly no stranger to Australia. Can you tell us about the time when you first came as a young art school graduate?
Yes, actually, I graduated. I was 24, in fact. I had a girlfriend who was living over here. We shared digs in Bristol. She was at the uni, I was at the poly. And she wrote a letter to me, said, "Get your ass over here, Munro. It's beautiful," and that was it. I got a working holiday.
How long ago was this, Bruce?
1984.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, March 1984, March the 16th. I can remember the day well. I arrived in Sydney. I phoned my father probably the next day and said, "Dad, I feel I've come home," because Sydney was to me like an enormous version of my home fishing town in South Devon.
Oh, really? What were the similarities? I mean, I guess, you know, there's clearly the sea, but what else made you feel those feelings?
Well, it was just I loved my home growing up, and there was a sort of vibrancy in the air. There was a sort of feeling of optimism and sunlight, and I think the UK at that time was pretty down in the dumps. It was just sort of between Margaret Thatcher changing all the unions. There was a lot of strife in the country, and I, as a young artist, I just wanted to not escape that, but to find something else in my life. And so I only aimed to be here for 6 months because that's all a visa would allow me, and then. In those days it was easier to stay on, and I ended up starting a little business, and the Aussies at that time were very generous and allowed me to stay. I'd sort of fell in love with the country immediately.
Yes. So what happened to that business, and why did you leave Australia?
Well, I was here for eight years. I met my wife over here, Serena, who's also English. We're now what I call posies because we have dual nationality.
Great.
We actually wanted to stay, but our parents at that time were getting on a bit, and sadly they've all gone now. But we had a bit of pressure to go home and spend some years, which I'm glad we did, because our kids got to know their grandparents. Mm. These things are quite difficult, and you have to juggle sometimes.
Yeah.
But my time in Australia was, I really didn't intend to do any art while I was in Oz. I felt I was far too young. And I also felt it was rather self-indulgent at 24 to start making art, and it was only when my father died and when I was 40 that I suddenly felt the urge that I needed to do these things. And a lot of the work that I now do was inspired from those years in Australia.
Mm. So how was it inspired by Australia? Because you are so famous for using light as your canvas.
Well, it's kind of you. I think it was because I was such a useless painter. I really do. I sort of got into light in Australia. I mean, as I got into it, basically I found it as a medium and started playing around with it in a more, excuse me, more of a commercial sense. And then when I was, when my father died, I started to sort of think about moments of clarity that I'd experienced in Australia. One being that experience out in Uluru, when Serena and I were driving around Oz as a sort of farewell. I arrived in Uluru. We had a little tent, and we would literally get it out at sunset and pack it up at sunrise.
Yeah.
And I just felt completely alive while I was in at Uluru. I was actually going to be quite cynical about it, because so many people had said, you've got to go out to this amazing place called Uluru. Most of them had never been there. And when I got there, I just couldn't believe the, it sounds a bit cliche, but the energy coming out of the ground, I felt so alive. And that just kept in my sketchbooks. And actually what I did was I was noting this these feelings down. Really what I was doing was recording feelings. So later on in life, when I wanted to describe this work, naturally, because my medium expression most familiar was light, so I started trying to describe how I felt. And I honestly, people who haven't been out to Uluru, I know there's a lot of controversy about the climbing and all of this, but just go out for the amazing landscape and the culture that's out there. It is extraordinary. I've been fortunate to go out there many times, and every time I go out there, it gives me new inspiration.
Yes.
It's almost like it's giving me presence every time I go there.
Yeah, well, Bruce, certainly the climbing of Uluru has absolutely stopped for good now, which is a great relief and a very, very positive thing for very, very many people, particularly the Anangu traditional owners. But can you describe your field of light, which you created at Uluru?
Yes, I think that Serena and I would typically just sort of pitch a tent at night, and you'd sort of sit there, make some supper, a light supper, and then you'd sit and watch the stars, which is actually a wonderful way to spend time. And I had, as said, felt so alive while I was there. I started to think, well, what is this? Why do I feel so alive? It was in the air. It was in the ground. It sort of comes through your body. And I guess when I was playing, experimenting with fiber optics, when I got back to my studio in the UK, and this all evolved over a number of years, I thought, while I was playing with this, I said, do you know, that could describe this very feeling that I was feeling in Uluru. And when you amass materials, repeated materials over a large area, they tend to take on a life form of their own. So, and I'm always fascinated by the manufactured object and how a sort of an object with no spirit can sometimes develop its own spirit and its own life form.
Mm.
So that was it, really.
Wow. Bruce, Tropical Light is the name of the work that you're creating in Darwin CBD. Had you been to Darwin before? Because you were commissioned to do the work by the territory government.
Yes, I mean, this was a very, a lucky thing for me. I have been incredibly lucky over the last number of years. I think the invitation came through as a result of Uluru and maybe Albany. Installations, but I'd been there in 92 with Serena. We'd the only people in, because we visited there in January 92, which is the hot season or the hot wet season, and we were the only people in a tent, funnily enough.
Great.
So it was a little two-man tent, but it didn't put us off. I mean, we had a fantastic time, and one of my memories, abiding memories, was trying to capture the elusive green flash. Now, for those who don't know what that is, it's when the sun sinks below the horizon and the last cusp of the sun in the sky flashes green. It's a myth, really. I've tried to photograph it many times, and sometimes I think I've got it or I see it, and
yes.
Other times I think, well, maybe it's just wishful thinking. It's a little bit like Father Christmas. You've got to believe in it. So,
right.
So that's one of our installations. For anybody who's not seen the green flash, if they're patient enough, they will definitely see one in Darwin.
Okay, and what else can people expect to see as part of your installation there?
Well, the idea is this is, I've been doing quite a lot of work over in the United States and various other countries, and this is more of what I call a botanical garden or a museum experience where you can move from one location to another. It's partly to help people, well, first of all, Darwin is an ideal city because it's small enough for people to walk on foot. Mm. I think it's about 2.3 km, the whole experience. And there is what's loosely called an arts trail or a light arts trail, which involves my pieces and other artists' pieces. And the organizers have made they've really done a wonderful job. So it's been very well thought out and put together.
Yes.
And it will navigate people around the city. And basically, I'm a collector of experiences. So when I travel, I tend to try and describe. I have my sketchbooks with me, which really take more notes, and I understand them, but they're just a sort of fragments of information that I pick up, and then I sort of let them just sit for a while, and then I tend to sort of they sort of collide, they sort of attract each other, certain bit. Pieces. They have their own sort of gravitational force, and then you have these little sort of visual anecdotes, I suppose.
Bruce, as you say, it seems that you're really very well in touch with your feelings.
I believe, and it was very interesting listening to the artists that you were talking to before. I really do believe that my passion is that people need to, first of all, we don't live in isolation. I think that the world we live in today, we're so ego-driven these days, and it's all about the I and not about the am. So I'm very much trying to, it wasn't what I set out to do, and I hope in a very gentle way, the works that I do bring people together. We all need each other. And if you have a world where we connect and actually really start to communicate properly, we don't have a world of strife. And I think fundamentally, before we can solve all the issues that we're facing, we have to get on with each other.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not bloody rocket science.
No, it isn't. Bruce, thank you so much for coming onto The Art Show. And your show, Tropical Light, opens in Darwin on Friday and will be in place until April the 30th. And so that's all through the top end. Humid summer. Bruce Munro here on The Art Show.